I feel like today the Lord has prepared a banqueting table. There's all kinds of good stuff. Hopefully you received that good word that Jack Hart had for us today. There are some powerful truths of what God is speaking to the church around the globe, but specifically Osborne and hopefully specifically you today. I love that, as I gave that analogy during communion, right, how eating things and all those things that you see the memes of people, right, after this quarantine, we're all going to be heavy set because that's all we do at home is just eat. We're not able to get out and do things. But I pray that that's not a physical thing. I pray it's a spiritual thing that, man, we're eating so much spiritual food during this quarantine that when we get out, oh my goodness, we can't wait to, is that a bad word, to spew all the spiritual food we have on this world. And so it's kind of funny. But I love it that today I just really felt like that. Today that from Sandy Sunday School class to worship to Jack Hart to my wife getting announcements to the word that I'm going to give, it's a full course meal, right? Sometimes I eat. And I'm like, oh man, I'm stuffed. I can't eat another thing. And then someone brings out really good food. I'm like, okay, well, I can taste that. Like, that tastes so good. I'm not hungry, but it tastes so good. I'll eat some more. And so that's kind of where I'm hoping we're all at, that you're already fed this morning, but you want some more. There's some good food. You know, that goes back to last week, right? We were talking about last week. Does anyone remember what we were talking about last week? The title of last week's message was Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This was not in my notes at all, but I talked about how Elijah met with that old widow, and she had the flour and the oil, and they had to bring them together to bake a cake. And sometimes written word is just dry, but we got to bring the Holy Spirit in, right? And so this idea that the Lord wants to feed us, right? There's so many scriptures talking about He prepares us in the presence of our enemies. He prepares a banqueting table, right? Then when we get to heaven, there's going to be a banqueting table, right? There's going to be there was talked about the Last Supper. There's going to be the feast, the banquet. What's it called? The in heaven. I can't think of the word right now. The banqueting feast. I don't know what it's called. In heaven, we're going to have a banqueting feast. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank you. The marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what I was looking for. And so there's all this idea about banqueting, feasting, eating. Jesus, especially in the older cultures, you did everything around food. And I feel like sometimes, like I said, in my Americanized, you know, culture today, I just eat and I go. But I'm praying that we learn to slow down, right? Even during this quarantine, slow down, slow down. I don't know that I'll slow down my sermons. I still talk really fast. That'll still happen. But really quick, recap, where were we at last week? We talked about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We were talking 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the very last verse, that Paul kind of gave that benediction, that last words to the Corinthian church, that may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That idea of that communion or fellowship with the Holy Spirit is something that we need now more than ever, right? We always need, but especially during this season, we need to learn how to have communion with the Holy Spirit, how to feed ourselves, not just to have someone on a screen feed us. That's great. I'm glad we can do this, but we need to learn how to feed ourselves, right? I think about, man, for even after Jesus died for thousands of years, most people didn't know how to read, right? And it was up to the priest to teach the word of God. And we live in such an incredible opportunity that all of us know how to read, that we have access to a Bible, a physical Bible, a digital Bible. We got Bibles all over the place. And we need to learn how to feed ourselves God's word. And so I love that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us with the word of truth and make it a satisfying, right? Sweet as the honeycomb, fulfilling, sustaining, giving us strength for today and those things. And then we talked about Romans chapter 8. That's my favorite chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I saw some of you guys were doing homework and were reading that throughout the week, so good job. And we read Romans chapter 8, verse 14 is the one I kind of was hitting on last week with that, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, right? And so just talking about how it is to be led by the Holy Spirit. But then I really want to talk about this idea that we're sons of God, right? Who we are. And so the title of this morning's message, if you're taking notes, if you need to know what to title it for our podcast, it comes from a movie. And you'll have a really hard time guessing what movie it comes from. But it's a quote. You can guess. I'll let you guess in the comment feed if you can guess what movie I'm talking about. But in the movie, someone says, "Who are you?" Inigo Montoya says that to Wesley, or at that point, the Man in Black, because they've been fighting and whatever else is going, sword fighting, and then he loses his sword, and so he throws it down, and it lands in a little pile of grass, and then he jumps on a rope and twirls as a flip and lands right next to his sword and grabs his sword, and Inigo Montoya says, "Who are you? Like, who the heck are you? I didn't know who you were, and now you're this, like, incredible, I thought I was the best swordsman, and you're incredible. Who are you?" And then this is not anything to do with my sermon, this is just me loving The Princess Bride. And he says, the man in black says, no one of consequence. And then Inigo Montoya says, I must know. And what's the last line? What's the last line? What does the man in black say? Get used to disappointment. Nothing to do with this morning's message, but I love it. I just love quoting Princess Bride whenever I can. But the title of this morning's message is, Who Are You? So bring it into little spiritual things. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Who does society say you are? Who does your mom and dad say you are? Who does your siblings? Who does your coworkers say you are? Who does God say you are? Who do you think you are? Who are you? And so I want us to look at that. And like I said, we were at Romans chapter 8, verse 14 last week. I want to keep going. And if you listened to this last week's Diving Deeper, I read the very next verse, 8:15. But I want to read it again this morning. So Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 16 says this in New King James. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So I love that. So who are you? According to God's word, according to if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've received the Holy Spirit, he's saying you're a child of God, and you have a right to call him not only your father, but your Abba Father, your daddy God, that there's this intimate relationship. And I just was even thinking about my own kids, that I, raising my four kids, I was asking the other day, they were talking about putting them to bed. In fact, I don't know why this is not in my sermon. My kids, they all had they knew they could sleep in a little bit, and they're kind of have the weekend, and so their clocks are kind of getting turned, or they're staying up later, and we let them have a slumber party and make a fort with all the sheets, you know, over the beds, and all sleep on the floor together. And I was putting them to bed last night, and I don't know how it came up, but they were talking about some of their friends at school that their parents are divorced and how hard it is for them. And we were talking about, I started sharing about how your concept of your earthly father, often it can shape your view of your heavenly father. And I said, you guys got it good. You guys got an incredible earthly father. So you guys got a great image of your heavenly father. And they were laughing. They knew I was joking. But I said at the same time, you do. I said, you come from good lineage. You know, you got good grandpas. You do have a good dad. I'm not a perfect dad. I mess up in lots of ways. But are you afraid of your dad? No, you like having fun. Like I love being, I was laying on the ground, on the floor, in the fort, helping them fix the fort better. They love that I play with them, that I get on and I'm intimate with them in a playful way as a little child. There's times where I discipline them as the authority. You better listen to your father. And they know, oh, the fear of dad, right? They know the fear of dad, but they also know that, man, he's also friendly. He's also fun, that he has mercy, right? That even my family, my wife tends to be the one that's a little more strict, and I'm the one that, if they want to ask for something, they always run to dad. Dad, can we play video games? Dad, can we have ice cream? Dad, can we have a soda? Dad, they always come to me first, and my often is like, well, what did mom say? That's my default answer. But they know that dad is merciful, that I always want them to have a good time. I enjoy them loving life. I want them to have fun. But the thing is, this is not even in my notes. But I loved yesterday, Saturday, it's time to do chores. And I let them play video games, and it's fun when I walk by and I see them laughing, they're playing games, you know, glued to a screen. There's a level of enjoyment as a dad that I provided, you know, an iPad for them to do their schoolwork and also have some fun on. So it's okay, there's a level of enjoyment seeing them have fun, laugh with life. But then when I would see them do chores in the bathroom, cleaning the sinks and doing whatever else, and I would walk by, and I'd stop, and I'd say, hey, Ezra, Daddy's proud of you. You're doing a good job. Just walking by, that makes me so much more happy to see my kids actually doing something that's productive, something that's helpful. And so I just want you to know that your Heavenly Father, he enjoys you even when you're just binge-watching Netflix. But you really want to please your Father, your Abba Father, have an intimate relationship with him? Start doing things he's asking you to do. And man, there's this intimacy. Oh, he loves doting on you. He loves encouraging you. If you need encouragement, man, I'm telling you, start doing something that your dad wants you to do. And you'll feel the encouragement of the Father. So I want to read to you those verses in the Passion Translation. It says this. In the Passion Translation, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirit joins him in saying the words of tender affection, Beloved Father, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. I love that. I love how the Passion Translation says that the Holy Spirit comes to us and whispers in our innermost being. Not only are you a child, you are His beloved child. See, there's something about going deeper. As I even prayed closing worship, there's something about, I know God loves me. I am confident. I know God loves me. It's a rock solid done deal. The enemy will not, he can attack all he wants. I know God loves me. That's done deal. But there's something about the Holy Spirit coming and whispering that tender affection. No, Ryan, you don't realize how much Daddy God really, really loves you. And I know I might have offended people in the past. I say it all the time, and I'll never apologize. I am God's favorite. I'm just telling you. Because the Holy Spirit, He whispers that to me. The Holy Spirit comes, Ryan, you don't understand. Like, you are Daddy God's favorite. You're His favorite. And you know what? I can say that because I say the same thing to my kids. Ezra, you are my favorite Ezra. I tell my daughter, you're my favorite daughter, because she's my only daughter. But I tell her, she's my favorite daughter, right? She's my favorite daughter in the whole world. And that's kind of what God does. He comes to me and He says, Ryan, you're my favorite Ryan. You're my favorite expression of who I created you to be, to represent me. And so He says, the Holy Spirit wants to speak those same things into your life. And I guess that's the heart of your pastor, is I want you to hear that. I want you to hear the tender affection of Him speaking in your innermost being, that not only are you just a child, you're a beloved child. You're His favorite. And so that's my desire. That's why I love these verses. But where I want to go this morning, who are you? Man, I'm a child of God, but I'm a beloved child. I'm His favorite. Those are things I want you to be able to say. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking about Peter. We've been talking about Peter a lot, right, from the beginning of this year. That launch out into the deep, right? This is the story of Peter becoming a full-time disciple of Jesus Christ. And in that, later on, you see that Peter, later on in Matthew chapter 16, I think I have a verse for that. Later on, Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, this is a dialogue between Jesus and Peter, and he says this. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I love that portion of scripture for lots of reasons. We got a portion of it on the walls in our church about the keys, and there's so much in there I've preached on before. But what I want to hit on here this morning is that Jesus is saying, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Blessed are you, Simon." And then He changes Peter's name. Changes Simon's name to Peter. There's something about that, that when Jesus, when you have a relationship with Jesus, there's something about Jesus, He begins to call you things that maybe you haven't heard before. He begins to call you things maybe you don't feel like you're qualified for. He begins to dote on you and give you affectionate names that only a father would give. And I want us to hear that. I want us to begin to receive the names or the identity that God calls you. Who are you? You are who God calls you. You're not just who you feel. You're not just what you think. You're not just what someone else told you you are. We have to begin to recognize and see ourselves the way God sees us. And I want us to understand in a little deeper way today. And so this idea that Peter's name was changed from Simon to Peter in this, I want to get to this in a second. But I love that John records this same story in a little different. He talks about Simon, but he doesn't talk about the gates of hell. He doesn't talk about things. He says this in John chapter 6, verse 68 through 71. John records it this way. He says, do I have my Bible? Yeah, there it is. "Lord, to whom should we go? Where would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus said, "I chose the 12 of you, but one of you is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, one of the 12, who would later betray him. So in that verse, why am I bringing that up? When I was reading this and studying, and I was going a completely different way for my message for today, and then yesterday God's like, "No, you're going here." I'm like, "Okay." And so when this is getting highlighted to me, it stuck out to me that John is recording this name Simon again. Jesus was talking to Simon Peter and changed his name to Peter. Gave him Petros. I'm going to get there in a second. But he says that, you know what? I chose you and I chose all 12 of you. But you know what? One of you, son of Simon, you're going to betray me. And actually, you're a devil. that Jesus, he foreknew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. And I love this word Simon. I want to sit here for a second. This word Simon, it comes from the Hebrew word Shema. That's where the name comes from. In fact, in this day and age, 2,000 years ago, this was one of, if not the most common Hebrew name of that time. Right? We know that, you know, baby names, they trend, you know, different names. I don't know what the most popular is now. Amelia is a popular one, different ones. Simon was a very popular Hebrew male name. You can go through the Bible, tons of people named Simon. In fact, you have Simon Peter, whose name was changed to Peter. You had another Simon, the Zealot. And now you have Judas, the son of Simon. Those are three different disciples of the 12. You have Peter goes to Simon the Tanner's house, right? There's all kinds of Simon, Simon the magician. Anyways, Scripture is full of Simons. But it comes from this word Shema. And if you study the word Shema, you know that the great Shema, I could sing a song for you, but Deuteronomy 6:4 is the great Shema. This is for what Christians would call like the Lord's Prayer or John 3:16. For a Jew, this is the most important verse. Deuteronomy 6:4, the great Shema, where it says, listen or hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And so it's talking about how it's important that there's only one God. But that very first word is Shema, or listen, or hear. And in Hebrew, did you know that there is no word for obey? There's no separate word for obey. If you can do a word study. There is no Hebrew word for the word obey. Shema means to listen, to hear, to comprehend, to understand, and to go do it, to obey. Shema means to obey. Anytime you read the word obey in the Old Testament, it's Shema. It means listen, hear. It's kind of, in Hebrew, it's two sides of the same coin. You have to hear, to listen, and then you obey. But it's not two separate things, it's just one thing. If you hear God speak, you obey. Amen. And that's what Shema means. You hear and obey. You can't do one without the other. It's impossible. And so we kind of have a different understanding because we have different words, right? We have obey. Well, I can listen to something, right? We have the audible listen. I can hear something, but I can choose not to receive it. I can choose not to do it or not. But in Israel, that's what they're saying in Hebrew. No, if you hear something, you're supposed to obey it, right? Obey the Ten Commandments. It says, hear them. All the prophets, they would say, hear the word of the Lord. Not just listen to me, actually do the word of the Lord I'm about to tell you. In fact, in Hebrew, you would have the people say the same thing to God. In fact, that word Simon, the very first Simon or Simeon you ever hear in the Bible is Leah names her son Simeon. She says, because the Lord has heard my cry. I've been neglected by my husband, right? Jacob has neglected me. He likes Rachel. He doesn't like me. But God has heard my cry. He responded to my cry and he listened and he did something. He took action off of my cries. And so because the Lord heard and did something with my cries, I'm going to name my son Simeon. Shema. So with that, why am I saying all that? Because I want to contrast the son of Simon, Judas, and Simon's name being changed to Peter. They both heard. They both believed. They both heard the words that Jesus was saying. They believed in their own way. But Judas, the son of Simon, wanted Jesus' kingdom to be his way. He heard what Jesus said, and he interpreted it in his way, and he wanted to force Jesus to become a physical ruler. He wanted to be on his terms, the way that he wanted it to be done. But I love that Jesus is changing Simon's name, this one who hears, Peter, you just declared me the son of the living God. You declared me the Messiah. On this, I'm going to build my church. He's saying, on this truth, that you are understanding that I am the Son of God, this is what I build my church on. And Peter, that name is Petros. It doesn't mean the rock. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He's what we build our life on, is Jesus. But he's saying, Peter, I'm changing your name to stone or little rock because I'm going to build with you. Your ability to hear and then go do, oh, I can work with that. You're not a hearer only. You're a hearer and a doer. And because of that, I'm going to change your name. I see who you are. I know you're going to deny me. In fact, I love this. He sees Peter. He sees parts of who he is naturally. Peter is someone who naturally wasn't very faithful, wasn't very consistent. He just blurted things out, did whatever he felt. But he was calling things as though they were. Jesus was saying, I see in you, Peter. You're no longer a Simon who just hears. You're a Simon Peter. You're a Peter who does it. And I can build with what you're obeying. And so he says that, and I love that. Jesus is saying, I foresee, even though I foresee you denying me three times when I need you the most, I still can look beyond that. And I can see who you're supposed to be. I can see who I'm calling you to be. I can see the gold in you. And I'm speaking to that prophetically. This is who you are. That's who a good father is. He sees his children. He sees the mistakes. He sees the weaknesses. But he sees the strengths. He sees the good. And he speaks to that. And he says, you're so good at that. You're great at that. And you're going to be even greater at that one day. And I'm going to name you that. I'm going to call you as though you were. And so I love that. You can go through scripture and see how often the Lord changes somebody's name. But I want to go back to this idea of hearing and obeying. Hearing and obeying is building the kingdom. Hearing and disobeying is opposing the kingdom. To hear something and not obey is actually opposing the kingdom. To hear the word of the Lord and not do it is not just like, oh, well, I kind of half got it. No, it's actually, you're walking in the opposite direction. I heard someone say, indifference is the brother of rebellion. To hear something and to be moved and then not do it, you're pretty much on the same grounds as rebellion, which is scary. And so this is kind of a harsh word, but hopefully an encouraging word, that when we hear something from God, we've got to go be doers of the word. But I love this. You can read throughout scripture. I got through this quick because I got tons of them. But there's all kinds of times when God changes somebody's name. A very famous one, right? Jacob. His name was changed to Israel in Genesis 32:22. You can read this story. But he went from a deceiver of men. That's what Jacob means. Someone who deceives men. Someone who wants the blessing, right? He stole the birthright. He stole the blessing. He always wanted the best for himself. And so this is just how he viewed life. Whatever's the best, that's what I want. And I'm going to manipulate until I get it. That's who he was, Jacob. That's what that name meant, deceiver. But God saw that. He said, you know what? Desiring the best, that's actually a good thing. Your means, your modes of how you're getting there, that's not right. But you know what? I like that you are pursuing excellence, that you want what's best. That's a healthy, good thing that I put inside of you, Jacob. So you know what? Let me change your name to Israel. What does Israel mean? Israel, he got his name when he wrestled with God. That's what it means, to wrestle with God. Israel means to wrestle with God. And so in that, what was he doing? He saw a promise. He said, I'm not letting go. Jesus, there's a promise and there's a blessing, and I'm not letting you leave until you give me that promise. I'm wrestling with you. I'm holding on to this. No matter what goes on, there's a promise. I know it's mine. I'm not going to let go. And because he was tenacious and because he said, I'm not going to let go, I'm not giving up, God says, I got to change this guy's name. You're not a deceiver. No, you're someone who wrestles with God until you obtain the promise. And that promise is not just for you, Jacob. It's for your 12 tribes. It's for your 12 sons. That promise is for the generations to come. In fact, they're supposed to be a nation that's supposed to be a blessing to the nations. So as much as that idea of wrestling with God, it sounds like a bad thing. Oh, one who wrestles with God. No, I just obey God. No, the reality is we're supposed to wrestle with God. There's some things where things happen in your life. I get it. I quote it all the time that going through trials and difficulties, we're supposed to consider it pure joy. But you know what? In that considering pure joy, there better be some wrestling. It's not a fake, phony, surface level, well, praise God, brother, I love trials. No. Going through hard things, there should be some wrestling. There should be some fleshing out of what you believe. God, you say you're good. I don't feel how good you are right now. And so I'm going to wrestle this out. I don't feel your goodness. I don't feel your provision right now. I feel like my finances are falling apart. But I choose to wrestle with my feelings, and I choose to submit that you have promised that you're my provider, and I'm going to wrestle with you, God, until I know it to be true that you're my provider. That I know that you're my healer. I don't feel healed right now. There is sickness in my body. I don't feel it. But I'm going to wrestle with you until I know that you're my healer. This is a healthy thing that we engage and we wrestle with God over his truths, over his promises. And so God is saying, yes, Jacob, I'm changing your name to Israel. Because you wrestle with me, you've now been blessing to your 12 sons. And now they become a nation, millions, and they're going to be a blessing to this whole world. I love that. Another person's name changed, right? Abram to Abraham. Abram means father. He was a good father. Abram was a good father. Didn't have any kids, but he was a good father. And God said, I want to change your name to Abraham, a father, a great father of many. I want to multiply your fatherhood. And I like this idea because, like I said, Peter, there was things, like Jacob, there was things that Jesus had created. He creates you in your mother's womb, right? He creates you with natural bents. He knows your personality. He knows what you're good at, where your weaknesses are. And he's saying, I want to rename you, not to completely wipe away everything. I know there is an old man with the old fleshly desires. We have to get rid of that. We have to crucify that. But when you are born, that you have the nature of God in you. You were created in His image. And there's things in there that He wants to redeem. And He's saying, I want to partner with you. And so with that, He sees the natural things in you. And He's saying, I want to breathe on that and multiply that. Like Abram, there's some things in there that are good, but I want to make you great. Good's not good enough. I want a father of one son? No, you're going to be father of many generations. Look at the stars. Look at the sand. No, you are going to be a great father. You keep going through the name changes. There's so many different elements how God changes somebody's name. Saul to Paul. Saul was walking in the complete opposite direction. He was opposing, killing Christians, hated Jesus. And then there was an encounter. Jesus knocked him off his horse. The fear of God hit him like nothing. Trembling in fear, blind, couldn't see anything, all of his pride stripped. And in that moment, that's when his name is changed. No longer Saul, now you're Paul. Similar name, completely different. Your zeal for the word of God, your zeal and your passion for people to know and to follow God's word, you know what? You were all wrong in the way you are interpreting it. But your zeal and your passion for scripture and to teach it, to write it out for other people to know it, man, I'm going to use you, Paul, to write most of the New Testament, to be the greatest missionary ever recorded. I know there's people listening right now. I know it in my spirit, but I know it even from watching the feed. I know there's some of you that you are kind of like a Saul. You're walking in the complete opposite direction. Drugs, alcohol, jail, suicide, all that stuff is in the past of your life. But God has renamed you. He's called you. He said, no, no, you're mine. And your life is completely different now. Some of you listening, you might be an Abram. Where you're following the Lord. You have faith. You're doing good things. But the Lord is saying, no, during this season, I want to upgrade you. I want you, your identity, who you think you are, no, I want to multiply that. Yeah, you're a leader of something. No, I want to make you a great leader. You have influence in this one sphere. No, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of influence. All right, so I got to fit this in. There was more scriptures and more things I was going to go through, but I got to get to this. You know, okay. So my legal first name is not Ryan. If you know my legal first name, you can put that in the comments. I've shared it before. My legal first name on my birth certificate, my first name is not Ryan. And so inevitably, when I would go to school, the very first day of school all my life, the teacher would do roll call and say, is there a James Donnelly here? And I would have to correct my teacher and say, no. See, that's my legal name, but my dad calls me Ryan. So since my dad calls me Ryan, I would like you to call me Ryan. I think some of you are getting that already. You might have been born with a legal name. You were born into a sin nature. And by law, you deserve death. The wages of sin is death. My legal name is separation from Jesus forever. But I receive the name my daddy calls me. See, he calls me this, and this is who I am. And I want you to refer to me that way. See, that works in an internal level. It works in a societal level, but it also works against the enemy. The accuser of the brethren. Like the rest of you, the enemy has come and told me, Ryan, how dare you? You think you can preach God's word? Do you know what you just did yesterday? That sin, how could God want to use you? God's not going to speak through you. You're a filthy vessel. And I can choose to listen to that, or I can choose to say, hold on, I don't listen to you. I want you to call me what my daddy calls me. He calls me beloved. He says I'm his favorite. I don't have to listen to you. See, there's so much truth to that. What did Jesus, I love that. What did Jesus hear when he was baptized? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. There's something about hearing your father call you by name. Maybe a name you've never heard before. God wants to call you redeemed, forgiven, child, well done, good and faithful, servant. He wants to call you his friend. He wants to call you his beloved lover. There's things, I'm telling you, there's names that the Holy Spirit wants to whisper into your innermost being. I'm telling you, if we really got a hold of it, if we really began to hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit of what the Father calls us in heaven. It would change who we think we are. It would change all of our identity. It would change our complete mindset. We would act differently. We would talk differently if we actually thought about ourselves the way God thinks about us. So as we're closing and Daniel's coming up for the worship team's coming up. Some of us, we need a radical encounter like Saul. And I'm praying. I mean, I have to give testimony. There was someone that's attended our church and for years hasn't been here, and they messaged me this last week. And they said this church has ministered to them. They've been listening to podcasts and they have completely done a 180. Can I tell you how encouraged I am to hear that they had a Saul moment where God knocked them off their feet and they radically gave their life to Christ? That makes me so encouraged that that can happen. Because it's a testimony, it can happen again. That someone can tune in right now, someone can tune in tomorrow, and they can hear this feed, and they can hear that God is calling you. He loves you, even in the midst of you spewing junk in His face, He loves you. And He calls you by what He calls you, not your legal name. No, no, I call you my child. You're my beloved. I find pleasure in you. Even in the midst of you wallowing in that pigsty, squandering your inheritance, no, I can't wait to embrace you. You're my son. You can't do anything to make me not love you. And yet there's some of you I know I can, I'm picturing some of you by face. I don't want to say your name to embarrass you, but there's some of you, man, you're Abrams. You've been following the Lord all your life. You're in your older years. And God is saying, I don't care. Don't laugh like Sarah. I'm giving you a promise that might sound outlandish. I want to give you a new name. Your name is no longer Sarai, it's Sarah. Your name is no longer Abram, it's Abraham. You're no longer someone who just hears the word of the Lord. You're someone who goes and does it. You're no longer just a Simon. You're a Simon Petros, who I can build with. Because you are a doer of my word, I'm going to build my kingdom with you. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I believe the Lord is speaking to some of you individually. I believe there's a smorgasbord of all kinds of things that God is saying to His people in general today. But I know there's some individuals the Holy Spirit is speaking to you specifically. I know because when I prepared my sermon, I had something all week long, something different. And on Saturday, the Lord told me there's someone who needs to hear this. So for the one, someone listening, God loves you enough to change the whole Sunday morning message for you. He wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to receive your true identity. Stop listening to your legal name. Stop letting other people tell you your name. Say, no, I prefer you call me what my daddy calls me. So we're going to sing one last song. And in the song it says, I am who you say I am. I am forgiven. I am chosen. I am who you say I am. And I want you to engage. I don't want this to be a song that you're just listening to the background as you go and finish and do something different. Again, like we did last Sunday, would you stand? Would you engage? Would you allow there to be ministry, both from the Holy Spirit speaking into your soul, but also from you declaring, God, I receive your word this morning. I receive it. I am who you say I am. I will obey, I will receive that truth, and I will wrestle with it until it becomes my identity. So this morning, I thank you that you are speaking, and we are hearers, and we are going to be doers, even right now in this moment, as we sing and declare this song. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.